As you can see, we are in Romans 3 and 12. Romans 3 and 12. We've got some really good things here tonight. I am going to try to do 10 verses, maybe. Somewhere around there, we'll try. Our cross references to this are Luke 17 and 10, and Matthew 25 and verse 30. Basically, the last few weeks, what we've talked about, the Jews becoming heathens, and the heathens becoming Christians. Jews became heathens, heathens become Christians. The Jews, because of their arrogance, have not heard God's Word. And because they continued not hearing God's Word, then He hardened their hearts. And so they have to go through a tremendous tribulation. The Lord Jesus Christ held them accountable because they were supposed to know when He was to be born. And they were supposed to know that the Messiah, King, when the very day that He rode into Jerusalem on that donkey, they were supposed to know that day and they were supposed to have accepted Him. And they didn't. They did not know the hour of their visitation. So therefore, they were held responsible for it.
Some of them did.
What?
Some of them did.
Some did.
Not the leaders.
But not the leaders. Some of the leaders did, even. Nicodemus was a leader. Joseph of Arimathea was probably a leader. Even maybe the high priest.
Do you think that Nicodemus had already been converted by that time?
Well, after John, the third chapter, Jesus absolutely took a rasp and worked his head over. That's all I can say. He worked him over. He abused him. And by the way, you know, in John the third chapter, when Nicodemus came to Jesus, he did not come by himself. He came with an entourage, and they were representatives from the Sanhedrin court, and also from the Pharisees. And he kept using, in the original language, he kept using the plural, we know, we this, we that. And Jesus sometimes would say, you all, and sometimes he'd say, you. And he condemned him for not knowing. And condemned him for not knowing what being born again was, and all of these things, because they were supposed to know this. Born from above. He should have known those things. He said, you're a master teacher. He was a doctor of law. Doctor of theology. He said, you're a master teacher of Israel and you don't know these little things? These little things? Well, it might be just the tape or something, you know, how these old things are. You hear me moving. Creaking in the...
Yeah.
I'm kind of like that machine. Plantes. Ek klinon. Hama. Ek kre o the son. Uk. What's the next one?
Esten.
Thank you, Marilyn. Poyon. Kres to teta.
Uk.
Esten. Hios. Henos. I remember the first time, I've always told people, if you're hanging around my classes about 3 years, you'll be able to just pick up a Greek Bible and just read it, and you won't know how you did it. After about 3 years, Marilyn came to the class one night, never studied the Greek word at home ever in her life, always cooking, doing something else. But she came, and she was in the class, and all of a sudden she said, can I read that? I can read every word in this. Verse. Were you there that night, Daisy?
She's an exceptionally smart woman.
Yes, she is. All pontes. That comes from pos and ponta. Nominative plural masculine and little adjective. All right. Turned out, bowed out, turned down, avoided, declined. It literally means to cause, to slope. Kline, out. Kline, you know, that goes back to a bed. Have you ever seen anybody just take the sheets and dump somebody out on the floor? Kline, that means a
We get our word clinic from that. In a clinic, in a hospital, what do you have? Beds. All right? The idea of this is that you have somebody laying here and you just dump them out of the bed. Just pull the sheets out from them and dump them on the floor.
Turned away, bowed, avoided, declined, dumped them. Have you ever said you had somebody had a boyfriend or a girlfriend and they got dumped? That's exactly what it is. And all turned away from, together, became useless, spoiled, unprofitable. Now this is the Cilician word right there. See that word right there? It's only used one time in the New Testament, so you're not going to see it again. That one right there, hama, and then akreotheson. Third person plural, first aorist, indicative, passive voice. Akreo. Okay? That means, in the Hebrew, there's the three words, nafal, raka, and abash. These words mean to spoil like milk. How many of you ever had spoiled milk? I remember one time Dakota drank spoiled apple juice. From that time, she got food poisoning from it. She drank spoiled apple juice. From that time, you don't want to drink apple juice, do you? No more apple juice. Any of you ever drank spoiled milk? Smelled spoiled milk? Rotten food? That's what it is. It's spoiled. It's rotten. It's worthless.
Now, this word, akreotheson, is that a hyphenated word or is that one word?
It's one word. Yeah, that it's just too long to put on the page there. All right. It became useless, unprofitable, spoiled, contaminated. It became contaminated. Not is one doing kindness. Kreis toteta. Kindness not is until not one. No, not one. There isn't one.
Cindy, you want to read that for me, please? In that Amplified Bible?
3:12.
All have turned aside. Together they have gone wrong and have become unprofitable and worthless. No one does right, not even one.
All right.
When salt gets contaminated, salt used to be something that people fought wars over. Did you know that? They fought wars over salt. Salt is a very important thing. In the American Indians, use salt to preserve meat, which is called what? Jerky, pemmican, whatever. They use a lot of salt in it.
If you buy canned fruit and things, when you're canning like peaches, apricots, all that stuff, now, you know why you put sugar in it?
That's a preservative.
You put salt and things and sugar and things to preserve it. If you have a wound, back in the old days, how many of you watched that movie that was a series of cowboy movies, of Lonesome Dove? An old boy went out there, that one captain or whatever he was, out there in a horse bit him. He walked in there to the old wood-burning cook stove, and up there on the side of it was what's called the Green Mountain Salve. You ever heard of that before? Nope. I'm the only cowboy around here that old. Green Mountain Salve was an old Indian remedy. What it was is beeswax, honey, and pine sap. They mix it together, and all of those are preservatives. They would take it, he took it and slapped it on whatever it was, on his side or something or other, I can't remember. But see, when you've been around all that stuff from the old days, you know what it is. You can take honey. Honey is a real good antibiotic. Even sugar, believe it or not, is an antibiotic. Now, salt and all of those things, when it becomes rotten, spoiled, it's no good.
And here it says that everyone has turned away, avoided, declined, been dumped out of the mattress, onto the floor.
No, not one, not even one, is not ruined by the sin of Adam. Not one. All right, and again, the cross reference of that is Luke 17 and 10 and Matthew 25 and 30.
King James does not do that verse justice.
Oh, well, King James is
wasn't for that purpose. That was to defend the faith of the king of the Church of England. The smell of a freshly opened grave. That's the subject now. The fresh odor of a freshly opened tomb. You know, they used tombs back in those days, and they put a lot of people in them. We already have more 4 or 5 dead bodies in there. I don't know if any of you ever smelled a dead body, but I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't smell very good. It's got quite an odor, and you will never forget the odor. The smell, the odor of a freshly opened tomb. Tophos. Aneogmenos. Ho. Larux. Alright. Alton. Tase. Glossios. Alton. Idolibuson. Eos. Aspidon. Hippo. Ta. Chile. Alton. You know, in some tombs, vipers reside. In some tombs, vipers reside. They go in there and they'll, especially in the wintertime, they'll roll up in bodies. They'll, if a dead animal goes in there, they'll just go inside of that animal. There's a certain amount of heat that a decomposing body produces. And they'll lay around in that. How many of you ever smelled a rattlesnake? Just, for instance, a rattlesnake. They stink. I can smell one of them for 50 yards. When I was, of course, I'm an Indian. You know, we were savages. We learned little tricks of learning what things smell like. You want to know what ants smell like? Just eat one of them. You'll smell ants from now on. You can smell them coming. I used to be able to go in the mountains. I guess I still could. I still won't ever forget what to smell like if I could get around. I used to be a hunting guide, and I teach people how to hunt, how to smell animals in the woods. And I'd go up there and watch the animals and everything else. If you want to learn what a deer smells like, completely butcher one and gut him and clean him, and that smell just gets through you, and then eat some of it raw. You can smell the deer next time you go in the woods. You can smell it the next time you go in the woods. You want to know what a rattlesnake smells like? Eat one of them. You can smell that rattlesnake from one on. I'm going to tell you something. We don't have to know what sin is like. We are one. We are a sinner. We can smell one for 100 miles because every man that's moving or walking around on his pegs is a sinner. We just is that way. Tophos, grave. Grave. Having been. This means the act of carving out and burying in a rock wall, like the one where Jesus was buried. Okay? It's a carved out tomb. Like the one where what was Jesus' best friend and his Mary and Martha, and what was the other guy's name? Lazarus. All right, Lazarus. Lazarus was buried in a tomb. And by the way, when Jesus come up there, they said, roll the stone away. And they said, oh no. What did they say? He stinks. He stinks. 3 days. They've been in there 3 days. He stinks. They didn't want to open that tomb up because he stunk. And they didn't want to open that tomb again until it come time to bury another one. Okay? A grave having been opened up. Perfect. Nominative singular masculine. Perfect participle passing. Having been opened up. The throat. We got a word larynx from this word. See that? Larynx. The throat. The gullet. Some foods, you can put it in your mouth, you can brush your teeth and everything else, but boy, when you eat certain kind of foods, you eat a whole lot of garlic, and I tell you what, they can smell it through your skin. certain things, foods, just ferment in your body. Having opened up the throat of them, alton, genitive plural masculine, third person pronoun, with the tongue, the glossios, that's the tongue. Have you ever heard of a sharp tongued person? Huh? Sharp tongued person? You know, in some less educated people, when they see a snake stick his fork of tongue out, they think when the snake bites, he sticks that tongue in you. That sharp tongue with his fangs. You know that almost every snake, you know, gopher snake's poison? King snakes are poison? Did you know that? The only difference between them, you know how you get, how you get venom in you from a gopher snake or a red racer or a king snake or anything like that? You know that they don't have fangs, but in their throat, they have fangs way down in there. You stick your finger in that snake's throat, he can inject poison in you. All of them are poisonous. Yeah. Kill the prey as they swallow it. They're injecting the poison in them. This is kind of the idea we have here. False religion and heresy is absolute poison. It's poison. It's deadly poison. And having been opened the throat of them, with the tongues of them, they baited. You know how a snake, they say that a snake sometimes hypnotizes a gopher or a rat or something. They'll stick that tongue out there and just wave that tongue out. Just wave the tongue at them like that. They're smelling is what they smell through their tongue. Wave that tongue. They baited. They kept on baiting. Third person plural. Imperfect indicative active. All right? They kept on baiting. They kept on trapping. Eels, poison. Venom. It means a missile, a weapon, an arrow. Venomous poison. Something that kills. The poison of asps. All right, asps. Ospidone. There's we get our word asp from. Ospidone. Okay? The poison of ass. Now, by the way, that old word is really old. This word ospidone, it comes from the word, the old word for basket or dish. Now, you go into Egypt, you go into those Middle East countries over there in a lot of places, and you'll see somebody out there with a little flute playing a flute. And he's a charming cobras. And that deadly animal comes up out of a basket. That's the basket of death. Okay, the basket of death. They open the lid up and they start playing this thing. The thing comes out and he starts sticking his tongue out. And he'll flatten his head out. And you'll see that king cobra's head ready to strike. The basket of death. It says they baited and they have the poison of the deadly basket of death. Their false religion is like a cobra's den. Hippo ta kile alton. Under the lips. That one word, by the word lips there, kile, that's from the Septuagint. That was used quite a little bit in the Septuagint. Now, under the lips, past the lips, and every snake is the poison sacs. Some of them are deeper in their throat, like the gopher snake and the king snake and the garter snake and all them, but every one of them have poison sacs. You know that every spider is poisonous. Even the, what they call the granddaddy long legs, the daddy long legs, or whatever they call them, they're poisonous. Did you know that? Why, they kill things. But they just don't have things big enough to bite you. All of them are poisonous. All snakes are poisonous. Behind or under the lips of them. All of it smells like the odor of death. Decaying putrefying, decomposing bodies. Leave the sleeping dogs and the sleeping snakes lie. Don't go there. A lot of the black arts are becoming very, very, very popular with young people today, the dark arts, the black arts. We were watching a movie last night, the movie True Grit, the new one. Any of you seen that one yet? The real Rooster Cogburn was Sam Paul, my great-grandfather. And they adapted that movie basically from a lot of his arrests and everything. And last night they were talking about his he was talking about his wife running off with his boy and all that. That's what happened with my grandfather. His wife ran off with his boys and his daughter. All of this. But this girl, what was her name? The little girl there in the movie, you know, was trying to protect her, get justice for her father's murderer. She shot a guy and she fell in a den, a hole in the ground, a big cave. And there was a dead man down there laying in the cave. And she looked over there and she had hurt herself real bad and she started pulling. She saw a knife in his belt. And she was going to pull his body over there and get the knife and the belt, but guess what was laying inside of his corpses? Rattlesnakes. She stirred them up. Stirred them up. Stirred up rattlesnakes. It's better to leave things alone sometimes. You see something dark, you see something evil. People get so excited about demon possession. I don't want to be around any of it. You know, I've been around people that I know had demons. I avoid that afterwards. I don't go there. You go there, you're sticking your neck in the noose. It's like hanging yourself. Leave it alone. 3:14. Now, Psalm 5 and verse 9, Psalm 140 and verse 3, John 15, 22 through 24. By the word there, baited, it means, in the Hebrew, it means they smoothed their tongues. They smoothed their tongues so they could bite deeper.
Are these references for 3 and 13?
Yeah, they 3, 13. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 13. All right. This word baited there, it's a Boeotian Aeolic dialect. Ionic or Aeolic. Okay? Now 3:14. Psalm 10 and verse 7 is the cross reference for this one. Hone. Toe. Stoma. Aras. Kai. Pikrios. Yeah, man. All right. Some interesting words here. Of whom? Oh, by the way, Cindy, would you read that last verse for me before we go on?
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
That hash mark there above the E on Yemi, is that to emphasize that vowel?
Yeah. Acute, grave, and circumflex. That's your different accent marks, okay? Acute, grave, and circumflex. Acute, grave, and circumflex. Okay? That's the mark. Have you got it there, Cindy?
Their throat is a yawning grave. They use their tongues to deceive, to mislead, and to deal treacherously. The venom of asp is beneath their lips.
All right. Of whom? Home, genitive plural, relative pronoun, of whom the mouth, stoma. We got a word stomach from that. Do these words sound a little bit familiar now when you see all of them? The mouth is the door to the stomach, isn't it? Well, isn't it? The mouth is the door to the stomach, so we call it the door to the stomach of cursing. When a guy curses you, where does it come from? His heart. His innards, okay? Of cursing, all right? Of cursing. Actually, having cursed. And bitterness. is saturated, stuffed, and full, and packed down, and compressed intensely. Their mouths are stuffed with cursing, wickedness, and bitterness, and poison. The poison of asps. All right there. You want to read that one for me, Cindy?
Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness.
All right. Their mouth is packed down and compressed and intensely. I mean saturated. Saturated. Boy, when the snakes, when the rattlesnakes, when the cobras, when they come out from hibernation and they come out after being laying down there, that poison is deadly. All right. 3:15. Oxes. Hoi. Hodias. Alton. Ek. Kaya. Haima. All right. Haima. Swift. Anxious. Anxiously swift. Anxiously swift. Excitingly swift. The feet of them to pour out Haima blood. To pour out, first aorist infinitive, ekkeo, old adverb, that ekkeo is. Here it turns into a verb. To pour out blood, swift to pour out blood, bloodthirsty. Bloodthirsty savages. Bloodthirsty. Bloodthirsty savages. Now, just think about it for a while now. Who's Paul calling these bloodthirsty? Who is he calling the bloodthirsty savages? The ones that are impure, the ones that are poison. Who is he calling? These Jews, the Judaizers. Okay. Now the Judaizers prided themselves into being the repositories of the Word of God, and all of God's confidence was in them, and they are God's elite. Okay. And they are not like the dogs, not like the savages, not like the heathens, not like the barbarians. Because Paul is describing them with all of these barbaric, wicked, animalistic. They weren't supposed to eat reptiles, were they? But he's calling them a snake.
And he knows what they are.
Yeah. Yeah. He knows because he was one. He killed people. He was a murderous snake, wasn't he? When he was on the way down to Damascus, God had to stop him. God, he said, I was born of Satan, basically is what he said. Born of Satan. And he said, I was aborted. He was already on his way to germination of being waken up one day in hell. He was born of Satan. He was a child of Satan. And it said, God aborted me. He stopped him there by force. And he said, Saul, Saul, why do you run me down? Why are you a ravaging wolf? Why are you a ravaging wolf? What tribe was Saul from? What tribe was he from? Remember? Benjamin. Son of the right hand. Benjamin. High tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin is a ravaging wolf. And, boy, he was vicious, wasn't he, Benjamin? Benjamin was vicious. You remember what those boys of Jacob did? Oh, how they were, how vicious, how ravaging wolves they were. Benjamin. The first Saul, Saul means one asp puller. Remember that? Saul comes from the same place that the word Sheol comes from in Hebrew. All right? You're learning a little bit of Hebrew, aren't you, David?
Yeah.
What do you want to know? Benjamin, son of the right hand. Ben, mean. All right? Ravaging wolf. And he uses these terms. Wolves can smell blood. They can smell blood. They've got a scent for blood. We have what we call blood hounds. You get a scent of somebody and they put blood hounds on somebody's trail. Sometimes they put blood hounds on, if somebody is hurting in the woods, they'll get a piece of their clothing or whatever and put it on, and that dog will take right off after them and smell them. Swift the feet of them to pour out blood. Bloodhounds. Bloodhounds. Ravaging dogs. Sin trima. Tai. Paleporia. In. Tais. Hodois. Auton. Isaiah 59 and verse 7, by the way, is a cross-reference to that verse 15. We got two very, very rare words in this next verse. Leviticus 29 and verse 19 from the Septuagint. Sin trima. That means to rub together, to crush, to crumble. Okay? When you take something and you just crush it into oblivion. Well, we are getting some real wild terms here tonight. My name in Lakota is Shugamiatatonka. Shugamiatatonka. That's what my name is. And that means the wolf that follows the buffalo herds. The wolves that follow the buffalo herds, I don't know, they were a few of them saved. They were the biggest wolf and the most tremendously strong wolf of all of the wolves in America. They say a buffalo wolf could take the bones of a full-grown buffalo bull and crush it and grind it with her teeth. In the old days, they used to fight chickens, they used to fight bears and bulls. They did all kinds of weird things back in those days. They were bloodthirsty. All right? But someone shot a buffalo wolf one time and broke his back, right above his pelvis. And he drug his body around. And he got that wolf and he put it in a cage. And he took it around from town to town and he said, I've got a crippled Shugamiatatonka out here, a crippled wolf, and I will fight anybody's dog in this town. I'll bet you $100 that this wolf can whip him. They said he would take that wolf and he'd put it out there in a pit with another dog and put a big, healthy-looking Great Dane, Norwegian Wolfhound, anything that they had out there, bulldog of any kind. And they'd put that wolf out there and they'd put him down, and of course the dog would charge the wolf and the wolf would just crush him, and with his front feet he'd hold and just shake the thing and you could just hear the bones break like brush was breaking. Just crush him with those jaws. That's what this term means here. Sin trima. It means to crush the life out of. To rub together, to crush, to crumble. To shiver, to break down, to bruise, to fracture. Sin trima. One time in the New Testament, that's it. Just get to look at it here because there's no place else. Kai and Palaporia. Take a good look at that one because it's only found in Romans 7:24 and here. Two times in the New Testament. Two times in the New Testament. It means misery. It means wretchedness. Wretched suffering. Crushing. Crumbling. Like a Benjamin Wolf crushes. Like a buffalo wolf would crush the bones of its victim. They could crush the bones of those victims and eat the marrow out of them. The buffalo wolf could come on a kill of any other animal they might have eaten, all of the meat off the bones. But the buffalo wolf could crush the bones and get the marrow out of it. That's what it's talking about. Misery and wretchedness, crushing, suffering in the ways of them.
Are these two words common words in Koine Greek, or are they?
Very rare words. Extremely rare.
In other words, in Koine Greek, in their everyday conversation,
they didn't use these words every day. Yeah. But Paul is describing what he was. Remember? A ravaging wolf. There's two roads in life. the path to eternal life and the path to destruction. Ruin. Disaster.
Two paths in life.
Two roads. Hodos is the word road. Hodos is road. And the roads of them. Leviticus 21 and verse 19. A trail of woe and destruction. A trail of woe and destruction. 3:17. Cindy, you want to read those last two verses in that for me as we get up here?
Their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction, as it dashes them to pieces, and misery marks their ways.
All right.
They're talking about our politicians.
Yeah. All of the wickedness going to ruin and destruction. What brings all of this? The greed of power and of things. How many?
He is talking about our phone.
That's right. The greed of power and stuff. If you go left or you go right, you're going to go in the same direction. It don't make no difference because that's what rules the roost. It doesn't matter. Greed and power. Why did the Pharisees, the scribes, the Levites, and the high priest, and all of them, why did they want to kill Jesus? What did they say about it? Let's kill him. We got to kill him because why? He is going to take our nation away from us politically. We'll kill him. He is going to mess our religion up. Kill him. He is going to take the power out of our hands and out of our court. Kill him. That's it. Kai Hodon, Erenes, Uk, Egnoson. Kai Hodon Erenes, Uk Ek Noson. And the road, Hodon, and the road, that's accusative singular, by the way, and the road of peace, genitive singular, belonging to peace, Arene, Shalom in Hebrew, Arene in Greek. Arene, when the Jews come up to you, they'll say Shalom. If an Arab comes up to you, he'll say Shalom. If a Greek comes up to you, you'll say Arena. Same word. Yes.
Hodon means way.
The road.
Walking along the way, along the road.
The road.
Such as the Appian Way.
Yes. Yeah. It means the path. The path. It means the pathway. But this means more than this. This means, like Jesus said, the pathways. There's a lot of pathways. But the one leading to eternal life is narrow and straight and difficult. Okay? When the rich young lawyer came to Jesus, and he said, Master, Teacher, Dr. Jesus, is what he said to him. Dr. Jesus, Rabbi, what must I do to attain eternal life? He said, what have you done? He said, I kept the law from my youth. I've done all this. He said, one thing you lack. You're rich. And you're greedy. And you're a politician. Take everything you have and give it to the poor. And then come and follow me. Yeah, it was asking too much for him. His power, because he was a lawyer. He was in the upper echelon of society. He was Esquire. You know, these lawyers, when they write you a letter, something says Esquire at the end of the name. That's a term of royalty. They think they're above everything. Above it all. He wouldn't follow Jesus. He wasn't going to give everything he had to the poor. He wasn't going to cease being a lawyer either. No way. I'll go to hell instead. I'll go to hell instead. Now here he is. He's a lawyer. He is a devout Jew. But he would rather go to hell than give up his place. I read a book one time on Greek words. And they said the word agapeo does not mean sacrificial love. Because it was used one time in the New Testament where it says the Jews loved the praise of men more than of God. They gave their eternal souls for the praise of men and each other. Jesus said, that's right, they loved their praise, they loved their religion so much they would go to hell for it. For eternity, not for a little while, that's for eternal. Aeon ton aeon eton. Olam in Hebrew, say olam. Olam. That's real easier. Olam. Eis ton aeon in Greek. Forever, forever, ages upon ages upon ages upon ages. They will suffer and go to hell forever before they'll give it up. That's how much people love that power. They leave a trail of ruin and destruction instead of peace and tranquility.
That's why he called them stiff-necked people.
Yeah. Jews destroyed themselves and everything and everyone they touched with their Judaizing religion. They were supposed to be guideposts, a light on the hill to all the world. But instead, they were an open sepulcher. With their mouths open, it was the smell of a grave. The tongues, as they smoothed their tongues to bite and sink their fangs in deeper to put the poison of their religion in people's veins and contaminate them forever, forever and ever. How many Jehovah's Witnesses have you ever been seen being saved? Come to know the Lord.
I know one.
A few. Well, I'll tell you what, when you get out of a false religion, the clutches, the jaws of that are strong. It's strong. I had a Jehovah's Witness call me one time. You know, we up to 10,000, from 10,000 to 150,000, 200,000 people hit our website sometime. And even those that don't like me, they don't believe what I teach. I taught, I think, 8 classes on Jehovah's Witness doctrine here one time. Remember that? 8 classes on Jehovah's Witness doctrine. Boy, we opened it up, and I had a former Jehovah's Witness here and everything else, and boy, I mean, talk about hate mail. Whew! Boy, I got it. Just the box was full.
That's good.
Doing something right. I stirring them up out there, I can tell you that much. Stirring them up. Trying to get them out of it. I mean, I believe in freedom of religion. But I'm going to tell you something. Baptists fought in this country for freedom of religion. But when the Baptists fought for freedom of religion here is when all the cults got started in the world. Seventh-day Adventists. All of this. All of these cults. Deep, deep. You can't. It's hard to get out of it. Catholic Church. I knew a woman one time, her husband had been a Baptist pastor, and she was going to a Catholic church. I said, what are you doing? To her, I said, what are you doing? Oh, he's saved. Our priest is saved. And I said, well, that's wonderful.
Why didn't he leave?
Why don't he leave it? Yeah. Get away from it. Go lead the people to the Lord. The fear of God. 3:18. We're getting along here. Ook. Heston. What's that word?
Phobos.
Phobos. You get a word phobia from that. So that means fear, huh? Phobia to you. People ought to have some of that. You ought to have this. Have a piece of pie. Have a nice drink. Whatever you want to do. Have some of this. Apenanta. Tone. O. Tha. Lemo. Ophthalma. Ophthalmone. We got a word ophthalmologist from that. Ophthalmologist. Altum. Not is the fear of God. down in front of them. That's a triple, that's what we call a double compound, or even you can put it, it's come from three different places. We got a root and a suffix and a prefix. Apo en ante. That's where it comes from. Before, down in the eyes of them, there is no fear of God in them. There's no fear of God in their presence. When God is sitting on His throne, on that great white throne judgment, look up here, white throne. Do you think that all them people that have been dumped out of Sheol that are resurrected in their corruptible bodies, unglorified bodies, but bodies that will last forever in hell, asbestos bodies, do you think that they will fear God there? He's got all the power over them to put them in hell forever. Oh yeah, they'll fear Him. Too late. Too late, they'll fear Him. Psalm 36 and verse 1. That word, apenante. Apenante. That's used in the Septuagint. It's used by Polybius and the Papari. It was a term that was used as an adverbial preposition with the genitive here. Down in the presence of the fear of God, down in the presence of the eyes of them. There's no fear. Not right now, there isn't. When they do fear God, it's going to be too late. Too late. A lot of people don't want to believe in hell either, do they? Every false religion tries to get rid of hell. That's one thing about the Catholics that's really different than a lot of other false religions. They invented an extra hell. That's so they can make a little money on it. That's the one they call purgatory. All right? Purgatory. They invented an extra hell so they could get money from people. Greed and power. Greed and power. Whew. Stopping mouths is a difficult business. 319. Oidomen. Day. Hote. Hosos. Ho. Nomos. Lege. Tois. En to nomo. Lale. Hina. Han. Stoma. Frage. Kai. Hippodikos. Genete. Tos. Ho. Cosmos. To theo. All right. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 10. Titus 1 and verse 11, John 10:34, Romans 2:12 and 3:9. In Romans 1:18-32, he was talking to Jews. I mean to Gentiles. Here he's talking to the Jews that he'd let them have it with all barrels. Used to have a Model 21 Winchester shotgun. It'd been shot a lot. It's a real good quality. It's a double barrel shotgun. And for some reason, I was pretty stupid. The barrels had been cut off on it. They blew the barrels out of the end of it. There was deer hunting with it back in Mississippi and got snow in the end of it. They shot, so they blew the barrels out, so they sawed them off about 20 inches. I used to go hunting with that thing all the time when I was young and dumb. Anyway, I'd put two shotgun shells in it, and I would put magnums, 2 3/4-inch magnums in it. About number 4 shot, I was out there hunting dove or whatever, you know, so it would reach out because the barrel's been shut off. I'd pull one trigger and the other one would fire. Boy, I mean, here would come a load out of that thing. One 12-gauge shotgun kicks was 25 to 40 pounds of recoil. Just can you imagine what both barrels going off do? That thing shot with both barrels 50% of the time. That's what I had. Boy, did that jar me. Now I wonder why my shoulder hurts so bad. I can't even sleep on it at nighttime. Unloaded. Boy. Oid amen. We have known, seen clearly with the mind's eye, first person, plural, perfect indicative active from oida. We have seen clearly with the mind's eye, moreover, we have seen clearly with the mind's eye, that whatsoever, or whatever, accusative plural neuter, the law, it says. Third person singular, present indicative active, to keep on talking, doesn't it? The law is still talking. The law is not in void, but it keeps on talking. All right? To the ones in the law, or under the law, are actually immersed in the law, is what it literally talks about. That's in the locative case, isn't it? In is locative, page 137, if you want to write that down as cross-reference. By the way, this is the book that you need to get for your analytical lexicon, Greek lexicon. I bought this one because you can see the cover on it. This is what it's going to look like on eBay or whatever you do.
But it won't look like that for long.
Well, if I use it, it won't. My other one's got leather on it because I wore it out. It's falling apart. And anyway, analytical Greek lexicon, it tells every word. I thought I'd bring this tonight. And then also, while I'm here, I brought these two books. I've got to tell you about them just a little bit. This is a book I haven't used very much because it's not all written up inside. It was a wide margin, but it has an apparatus down below it. See, this tells you the history of each and every verse. Okay? If there's a word in there that doesn't belong there, or if there's a different reading or something, it tells you about it. All right? This is a real Greek Bible. There isn't any English in it. It's Greek. But in a few more weeks, you'll be able to read one of these anyway, whether you believe it or not. Anyway, here's the book of Romans. Right there. I better shut.
Is that the New Testament?
This is the New Testament.
This is the New Testament.
That is a Bible with an apparatus. That's a Greek text with an apparatus that tells you the history of the text. If you really want to study Greek and get serious about it, you need one of these. We have known, moreover, that whatever the law, it says and keeps on saying to the ones immersed in the law, it speaks. In order that every mouth it shall be stopped singularly. Third person singular. Second aorist, subjunctive passive. It may be stopped. It may be fenced in. That word frage means to fence in. Comes from frosso, to block up or to fence in. Every mouth shall be gagged. Every mouth shall be gagged. You know, in all the movies you see somebody, they get these people and they rob a bank or something, and they stick gags in people's mouth and tie a gag on them so they can't talk or duct tape them or something. This is what it means, to stop the mouth, to gag them. They may be gagged. And down under judgment, hypodikos. That word is used one time in the New Testament. This is another rare word. Without this compound, it's used in other places, but in this form, it's used one time. It is an old forensic word. One time in the news, the hypodiscipline is under judgment. It shall become. Here we have the word where Genesis comes from in the book of Genesis. That's from the Greek Septuagint. Yenamai, that's what this word comes from. Third person singular, secondary. Subjunctive, middle voice. It shall be become for itself all the world to the God. All right. Paul seems to be speaking directly to the Jews, the most difficult to convince, A.T. Robertson says. Under the law, everyone is liable to God, Jews and Gentiles. Cindy, you want to read those last two verses for me, I believe?
There is no reverential fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that the murmurs and excuses of every mouth may be hushed, and all the world may be held accountable to God.
All right. They're going to be gagged. You, when people come before God, there are going to be no excuses. That's it. They're going to be stopped. Their mouths are going to be stopped. The knowledge of sin through the law. Dihote. Comes from dia and hote. Okay, that's a little compound word. Ex. Ergon. Nomu. U. Dikai u thei sete. Paso. Sarx. Enopion. How to. Dia. Dar. Nomu. Epigenosis. Amartios. All right. Psalm 143 and verse 2. Acts 13:39. Galatians 2:16. Romans 4:15. 5:13. And 5:20. And 7:7. These are cross-references to this. Because out of the works of the law, out of the works of the law, not shall be justified. Look at that third person singular future indicative past. Not shall be justified all flesh down in the presence of Him. That should be a capital H there. I am. Of Him. By the law, full knowledge, absolute, complete knowledge of sin. Then we know what sin is. Thou shalt not what? Thou shalt not covet. And thou shalt not covet your neighbor's husband, your neighbor's wife. You shall not covet his dog, his horse, his cow, his goat, his pig, and kosher pigs. His goat, his children, kidnapping. Well, there was a penalty for kidnapping. There was a penalty for adultery. All of these things. Back in yonder year. And because of that, we know what sin is. Even in America, even though we don't have many laws, what they need to do here is put laws against the greedy and politicians and the lawyers. We need laws against lawyers. We need some problem. We need some righteousness and a little justice here. 3 and verse 21. Righteousness through faith. 3:21-31. Nini,
Dei,
Koris, Nomu, Dekai Osune, Diu, Pephanerote, Maturumene, Hippo, Tu, Nomu, Kai, Tone, Propheton. Okay. Romans 1 and 2, 1:17, 9 and 30, Acts 10:43, John 5:36, Acts 1:22, John 4 and 1, Acts 10:37, Acts 18:25 and 19:3, Matthew 11 and verse 13, Luke 16 and 16, Luke 3 and 2 and 7:28, Mark 11:30 and John 6. 1 and 6. There's a lot of stuff in this verse. I could teach a whole hour on this verse easily. It's tremendous. Here we have an emphatic, logical transition. Logical transition. But now, without law, righteousness of God has been placed in the light where it can be easily seen. Third person singular, perfect indicative passive, phanerion. Being witnessed, nominative, singular, feminine, present, participle, passive, by the law and of the prophets. Okay. How long do the law and the prophets exist? When the law and the prophets cease to exist. as far as importance. Just think about it for a while. Genesis 3:15. The promise of the Messiah. Okay? Who heralded the Messiah? The king of Israel. The king of Israel was supposed to take over Israel. Wasn't he not? So the law and the prophets were unto what? Matthew 11 and verse 13. Let's look at it real quick. Paul is nailing this coffin shut on these Pharisees and Sadducees and Judaizers. He's nailing them and sealing their coffins and their tombs. Have you got it there, Cindy? 11:13.
For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John.
All right. Luke 16 and verse 13. We just looked at that for a moment. Anyone have that yet? Cindy, boy, you're fast.
The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John.
Since then, what happens? We have the preaching of God the Son, the Messiah, the King of Israel, taking over His kingdom. But He has these worms wrestling around with Him. These snakes, these wolves wrestling with Him. Boy. John 5:36. Let's look at that one. John 5:36. Acts 1:22. John 5:36 and Acts 1:22. John 4:1. Something's happened here that many people don't see. Something has happened in the kingdom of God. Who's got one of these? Have you, Steve? I forgot you got that little thing in your hand. That's actually a Bible, isn't it? Okay, go ahead. Which one do you have?
John 5:33.
Read that for me, would you please?
But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John, for the work that the Father has given me is accomplished. The very work that I am doing bear witness about me that the Father has sent me.
All right. First of all, Jesus said, "I am greater than John the Baptist." Everybody knew John the Baptist was a prophet, didn't they? The end of the law has come. The Messiah, he was Elijah, so to speak, the one that would go before the Messiah. He was the one that would herald. He would make the pathways. Back in those days, it said he would level out the hills and build up the valleys. What they did is when the king was coming, they would go out there and take the royal road and make it smooth. They'd take all the ruts out of it and everything else for the king that was coming. And then they had a herald, and they would have runners before him heralding, "Lord, the king is coming." Well, here's the king. The law and the prophets were until John, and now we have the herald. He is making the roads level. He's straightening it out. The king is coming. The king is coming. All right. John 4:1. John 4:1. Are we over there too, Steve?
No,
I'm just there. Okay. How fast that little dude work?
No, I'm there.
Okay.
John 4:1. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John.
Okay, go on.
Although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples.
The church was doing the baptism. Here we have him calling out his little assembly. He is replacing Israel. Because he knows Israel is going to fail. So he's already called out his little ecclesia, his church, and that church now is baptizing more disciples before the day of Pentecost. So many people start the church on the day of Pentecost. The church was already there. The church had met. It was waiting for him on the day of Pentecost. The church already had the Lord's Supper. The church already had a treasurer. The church already went out on a limited commission. The church had the first gift in the church was what? The first gift placed in the church was apostles. The church already had apostles. All right? He was already baptizing. He'd already had the Lord's Supper already. All the things that it needed. What happened on the day of Pentecost is the Lord took possession and glorified with His Shekinah glory, the Shekinah glory that's still in true New Testament churches today. All right? All right, Acts 1:22. Are you there, David? All right.
Beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection.
All right. Now, what they wanted to do here, they wanted to replace Judah. Judah. Yes, they called him Judas Iscariot. Okay, Judas Iscariot. By the way, Judas Iscariot means Judah. If Judas is a bad translation of it, it's Judah, the praise of God. That's what his name meant. Judah, the praise of God. The guy was supposed to be praising Jehovah, and here he betrayed Jehovah. And Issachariot, it means the man from Kariot. That's where he came from. Judah Issachariot, man from Kariot. Okay. Now, let's go on with that. This is what they were supposed to do, to pick one out.
Go to 26.
Well, all of the apostles, when the apostles were ordained, they go to which were you read 22, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I think it's all
23.
And they appointed two Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Mm-hmm. And they gave forth their lots, and they fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles.
Okay, here they are, the church having an election. The church had an election, and they elected another apostle, but that apostle had to go back with John's baptism. And by the way, some of the disciples of John would not follow Jesus. Did you know that? Some of the disciples of John would not follow Jesus. He says, you go to him. Go to Jesus. That is the epitome of what I baptized you for. Go with him. And some of his disciples started churches of their own. Some of them started churches of their own. Acts 18 and verse 25 and 19 and verse 3. Here we have a guy with unscriptural baptism. He did not have the Shekinah glory. The Shekinah glory came upon the church on the day of Pentecost. And all of these people that were church members of God's churches had gifts at that time. Okay? And we run upon somebody that is a great preacher. His name is Apollos. He's a great preacher, but he doesn't know anything about the gifts of God, the Holy Spirit, which came upon the church on the day of Pentecost, and like what happened at the tabernacle, what happened at the temple of Solomon, the Shekinah glory came and rested upon them. The Shekinah glory came and rested upon these church members. That's what the tongues of fire on their heads were all about. Okay? And he didn't know nothing about it because he had John's baptism. And John had no authority, and the disciples had no authority to go out and baptize anybody. They were all supposed to go to the church. All right? Well, we run over. See, we started early and we finished late to make up for it. Okay. We'll look at that a little bit next week. We'll start in verse 322, and which is a real good one, 322 and 23. See, David, I told you it'd be worth it, didn't I?
Yeah.
All right. 12 and verse 29, isn't it? Pray that Dakota Friday, she goes to take her driving test. Pray that she doesn't wreck the car and smash up, and pray that she passes her test. Also, all right. She'll do fine. She's done really well. She's going to drive home tonight in the rain and the dark and all that kind of stuff. Down the freeway driving 70 miles an hour. All right. I hope you enjoyed God's Word tonight. Please go out and do something eternal this week. Glorify the Lord with your lives. Thank you for coming here when nobody else is here so we can preach God's Word and teach God's Word and glorify Him with our lives. Brother David, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much that we can come to this place and we can worship You through learning Your Word, Lord. We thank You for Jim and the time that he had.